It's time again for 3-Point Podcast. Three sports guys, three generations, and three hot takes. The triple threat includes baby boomer Ted Patel of Z92.5 The Castle. Our Gen Xer is Matt Burns of ESPN and the SEC Network out of Charlotte, North Carolina. The millennial man is Jared Patel of Bally Sports Detroit. Comments and questions can be sent by email to 3pointpod@gmail.com. Follow 3-Point Podcast on social media at 3-Point Pod. The fellows will get it rolling right after this from our partners.
Check out the Memorial Healthcare's Wellness Center in the Now building on the campus of Memorial Healthcare. Memorial Healthcare's Wellness Center includes locker rooms, private showers, steam rooms, a sauna, a lap pool, and more, including a raised track for walking and running with views of the entire Memorial campus and surrounding area. Personally, I love it, man. Sunday, Saturday morning, get in there, get a good workout in, hit the sauna up, and I also do the steam room. So it's a perfect spot. I mean, I think it's only $12 for a day pass, but for those of you who are looking to join for a winter membership, it's up to 15% off for your membership when it's paid in full. Memorial Healthcare strives to bring healthcare and wellness together, servicing patient needs from diagnosis to treatment to rehab and beyond. For more details, go online at www.memorialhealthcare.org or call 989-720-CARE. That's 989-720-2273.
Rivals Tap House and Grill is the area's go-to spot for the best in food and drink. Meet up with your friends and catch your favorite sporting events on over 20 high-def flat-screen TVs.
And our 120-inch projection screen.
Rivals can handle your large or small parties and is an awesome spot to put on your fundraising events. Weekly food and drink specials including gourmet burgers, wings, pizza, homemade soup, and salads. Rivals also stocks a large selection of craft and domestic brews. Rivals Tap House and Grill, the official gathering spot of 3-Point Podcast, located on the corner of Shiawassee and M21 in Corona.
It's time for episode 307 of the 3-Point Podcast, presented by the Memorial Healthcare Wellness Center. Man, they got a new thing. This is a challenge, and it's called the challenge, the road trip challenge. You walk, run, or bike your way from the Kerwood Castle in Owosso all the way up to the mighty Mackinac Bridge. 230 miles to complete it. Probably not on my list, but it'd be a good challenge for some of you out there, right?
It's kind of neat. That would be good. When is that again?
That starts April 22nd. I guess the challenge runs all the way till June 17th. I'm not exactly sure of the details, but if you want to get details, go to memorialhealthcare.org and also check out everything they offer, including swimming lessons, workout stuff. I mean, it's just a great partner of ours. And speaking of other partners, AZ Branding Solutions, Jacobs Insurance Agency, Corey Shook and Associates Real Estate Services, Nelson House Funeral Homes, Rivals Tap House and Grill, and Success Group Mortgage and Servicing. Well, we had another kind of spring break. You know, we had a little bit of time off. A lot of stuff's been going on, hasn't there?
Yeah, the sports world is kind of, this is, you know, we talk about the great times of the year, whether it's like the end of summer, fall, football starting, baseball, you know, all the events going on. This is always a good time of year too. Mm-hmm. Baseball's going, March Madness, obviously, like this week is Masters week. There's always a bunch of stuff going on. So I know you were in Florida, Ted.
Yeah.
I had my parents came down for a visit. They were here for a little over a week. So we were, you know, busy having grandparent fun with my parents, because my daughter was on spring break. So we were out and about a lot. So, and I know Jared, you were busy with all your work duties. So yeah, it was kind of, I don't know, almost easier just to take another little spring break and
sure
catch back up when the March Madness was all done.
Yeah, we got plenty to talk about in this podcast, that's for sure.
Yep.
What would you guys rate? Actually, you know, let's stick to catch up for now. I'll be honest. I don't have much new to add to our catch up. I mean, you guys have been the ones doing the cool stuff. I mean, Ted, you're out on the pontoon with the eclipse sunglasses. I'm going to be lame. I didn't even watch the eclipse. I know you guys are probably going to call me a hater or whatever. I get the appeal of it. I just didn't have the glasses ready. I was running around right around the time that it was happening. Honestly, I kind of forgot it was even happening. All of a sudden, I was driving and it was like dusk out around 3 o'clock. And I was like, oh, that's right. There's an eclipse today. But you guys seem to really love it. How was it on the pontoon?
Yeah, it was great. I mean, just a quick side story, you know, I'll talk a little bit more about April and the D, because I had a chance to go see the Red Wings. Walking out of the Red Wings game, there were, you know, how the street hawkers are out there selling their goods. There were people selling eclipse glasses, two for $5, right? And I actually thought about buying them at that time, but didn't. And then,
not a bad hustle.
Right? No, it isn't a bad hustle. But eclipse day, this is how stupid I was, you know, I'd always prognosticate. It got to the morning of eclipse day, and I thought, damn, I should have got those glasses at the Red Wing game. So checked a bunch of places in town. No glasses to be had. They had signs in the front door. We're out of eclipse glasses. So I stopped in one of our local businesses, Gilbert's Hardware, and just asked if they had any. They said no, but they said they heard that the Corunna Library might still have some. So immediately put a quick call in. They said it's first come, first serve. We're running out. I says, hey, hold one for me. I'm on my way. I'll be there 5 minutes. So I got my glasses, took the pontoon out, checked it out. It was, you know, it would have been better if it had been the full eclipse. You know, I think your mom and dad got a chance to check that out, Matt, but it still was pretty cool.
Yeah. So let's be honest though. When you called the library, you pulled the Ted Fattel card, right? You said, this is Ted Fattel. I'm on my way. Hold.
You know what? You want to know the truth? 100%. Because she kind of hesitated. She kind of hesitated. I said, "This is Ted Fattel," and she said, "Okay, I'll save one for you."
Yeah. So she knew you weren't lying. You were going to show up. You were going to come get them. No, I'm kind of messing.
10-year-old kid. Some 10-year-old kid gets those glasses, and it said you had them on your retirement.
Oh, wait a minute. You should have saw all the gray hairs in there getting their glasses when I went in there, man.
That's cool. That's cool that they had them, though, for people to give out. Because it is funny. Like, I saw people talking about, you know, everyone went out and bought these glasses on Amazon or wherever you bought them.
Right.
And now what do you do with them?
Right.
You just, like, hold on to them until the next eclipse, or I guess you just toss them out or whatever. But, no, it was cool. I mean, the eclipse, it's one of those things, like, I was thinking about it that day because my son and I, we went to the Y, and, you know, we did a couple other things, and it seemed like that's what everyone was talking about. Even the people like Jared who were hating on the eclipse, that's what everyone was talking about. And I was thinking, there's not very many things that happen where, like, that's what everyone is talking about that day. Mm-hmm. Like, you think about Christmas might be one, even if you don't celebrate Christmas or whatever, but Christmas is something that, like, everyone, when it's December 25th, everyone knows it's Christmas. Even if you're not a sports fan, I would say the Super Bowl might be one. Because even if you hate football, like, everyone knows it's Super Bowl Sunday. You might be going to a party, or you might not be doing anything, you know, because you're saying, I don't care about football. You know, there's not very many things where everyone is talking about the same thing. And the eclipse was one of those. Like, everyone was talking about the eclipse that day. And I posted, I remembered back in 2017, there was an eclipse. Mm-hmm. And South Carolina, like, Charlotte wasn't in the direct path of the totality, but we were just outside of it. So I remember that. But this one is apparently one that, you know, was only comes around every 50 years or whatever the number is. And my parents, they were on their way back from Charlotte to Michigan. And they were like, you know what, why don't we delay our trip and we'll stay in Ohio, because Ohio's in the path for totality. One of my sisters, they took their son out of school and some of their friends, and they drove down to, I think she said they made it to Bowling Green so they could be in totality path. My brother-in-law took their kids and went down to Indiana to a place where it was in the totality path. Cause it is, you know, it's kind of a once in a lifetime type of experience. If you can really be there, and they're, you know, texting, they sent pictures and stuff. So here, like, kind of like what you said, Jared, it kind of got dark a little bit here, but not pitch black because we weren't in that totality path. But their experience, I mean, it sounded amazing, because it literally, they said it got pitch black and it cooled off. And, you know, it's that would be something, and it got, like, dead silent. You know, so that would be, I mean, I guess if you want to be a hater on it, like, who cares about the eclipse? It would be a really, really cool thing to experience.
Yeah, and that's why I saw the pictures of Ohio. It did look freaking awesome, like Progressive Field in Cleveland.
Yeah.
It was, like you said, it was dark at 3 o'clock. It's wild. Did the kids get a kick out of it? I was a snot-nosed kid, kind of. And I just imagine, I'm thinking of this day, we're going to get out of school, we're going to drive 3 hours, we're going to get stuck in traffic. Like, I think I would have been kind of snot-nosed about it. And like,
well, that's the thing.
Oh, this is the eclipse. All right, we saw it for 3 minutes. Now let's go back. What
that's
did
the thing, Jared. The eclipse happened at like 2, 3 o'clock. So they got pulled out of school.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't, but you know, it was one of those where they were like, you know what? You're going to miss school today because we're going to go experience this eclipse. So you being a snot-nosed kid, you'd probably be cool with that, right?
Yeah, anything better than school, to be honest. So,
no, and hearing, you know, from my sisters and my brother-in-law, they said the kids loved it, thought it was cool. You know, they got to do a little day trip, road trip, or whatever. But that's the thing. I'm not railing on you, Jared. I know you're not hating on it too much, but you know, it is one of those things. When there's something like that that like catches the world by storm or whatever you want to say, you always get the people who that's all they're talking about. Eclipse, eclipse. I got my glasses. I'm so excited. You know, but then you always get the other side of it. Then you get all the people posting or doing things where they're like, am I the only one who doesn't care about the eclipse? Who cares about the eclipse? Is it really that big of a deal? And it's always like, man, just let people enjoy, you know, life. Like, let people enjoy doing stuff. Like, why do you have to hate on it?
Yeah, I don't understand that opinion on it either, really. It's like, the way I viewed it was, if somebody handed me a pair of glasses, I would have looked up at it. I would have appreciated it. But I wasn't going to do what Ted did, which was build my entire day around it. No, I get why he did that. I don't have a problem with that. But that's just where I'm at. Like, but the people who are like making their, I guess I'm kind of doing it, making their presence known on social media about how they don't care about it, telling everybody at work, why do you care about it?
Right.
You're just a hater at that point. So it was definitely eerie. I can imagine it was pretty magical out in the water.
It really was, you know, and like Matt was talking about, it was, even though we didn't get the total eclipse, it was very interesting to see the weather change. You know, it did get colder. You know, it wasn't pitch black, but it got darker. And then here, I mean, the wind picked up, you know, and that was kind of eerie. You know, it was kind of a change, you know, so it was really cool. You know, and I will admit, I kind of was, that's why I was delayed on even making the decision, but I got hyped up, you know, with everybody talking about it all over the news. I thought, man, I better check this out. So I'm glad I did. You know, I don't know if I'll be around in the next one 20 years, but who knows? That's my goal, to be there for
one
that.
One of my favorite traditions on this pod is you talking about getting your boat on the water. We missed that last week. You said before we started recording, you've been on the water 3 times already. One of my, you know, things that I'd be worried about every year if I'm a boat owner, getting it back in the water. Was there any issues when you put it back in the water?
No, actually not. I mean, I was happy as can be. It's been running smooth. So it's a good thing. Yeah. No issues at all. It went perfect. Yeah.
That's always the big thing, right?
Oh, it is.
You get it from the fairgrounds, you get it down into the water. Hopefully no mice or like no animals got in there and messed it. Right. But that first time you turn the key.
Oh yeah.
It's gotta be every time. It's like, all right, here we go.
It survived. And I learned a lesson quite a few years ago that when you have batteries, you have to keep them charged up, you know, cause they'll go down and then they'll be dead, you know? So I have this thing called a tickler that all throughout the winter, it gives it a little bit of a charge. So I wanted to make sure that battery was all charged up 100%. I had to put fresh gas in it. I think people are bored of me talking about my pontoon right now, but it was good.
Like back in the day, you got to listen to like, you know, a pirate or, you know, Christopher Columbus explain the Mayflower. I know it's not what his boat was, but
no, it wasn't.
But now we can listen to you describe your pontoon endeavor. So that's kind of the next best thing for us.
Good. I'm glad you enjoyed that. By the way, part of my catch up, I did go to Florida. I have a little segue I'm going to save for Tedertainment tonight that ties into my Florida trip, but I did want to mention, you know, since this is catch up, it's part of the sports, but let's talk Detroit Red Wings right now. I had a chance to go to see the Red Wings play the Sabres on Sunday afternoon, went with my daughter, her two daughters went with us, their first experience. It's been a while since I've been to a Red Wing game, all the way back to Joe Louis Arena, but I got to tell you, the experience is just fabulous. I almost like it better than any sporting event I've been to. It's just awesome. I mean, Detroit is hockey town, and I will make this comment. Little Caesars Arena is a perfect hockey venue. You know, I'm really concerned about the Pistons playing there. I haven't been to a Pistons game. It just seemed like they had it so perfect at the Palace. But for hockey, LCA is awesome. I mean, just the whole layout, walking through the place, the eating establishments. It was a tremendous event, and it was fun to go to. And I watched them play last night, lost a 2-1 heartbreaker, yeah. But they're still in the hunt, but they got their hands full right now.
Yeah, that Detroit is hockey town, whether they're in contention or not. Obviously, right now being in playoff contention, that adds to the environment. But you know, there was a regional at LCA and for March Madness, and I heard people talking about that. They love the venue. I heard people, you know, people are skeptical, you know, the stupid stuff you hear about Detroit. You know, people are always like, oh, geez, why do we want to go to Detroit and play these games? Or, you know, the stuff that people say. But then I saw feedback afterwards and they're like, no, Little Caesars Arena was a fantastic venue for these games. Downtown Detroit was really cool. You know, obviously the weather, it's always a big deal if the weather is good or not. But no, I mean, I haven't been to a Red Wings game. I haven't been to a Pistons game there either. But everything you hear about a Red Wings game at Little Caesars Arena is it's better than Joe Louis Arena. Yeah. If Joe Louis Arena wasn't Joe Louis Arena, you know,
I think
LCA is a better experience.
There's not a bad seat in the house, you know, and our seats are fairly high up, but you really could see all the action pretty clearly, obviously. And then they have the gigantic screens up above right in front of you. I mean, you can't go wrong. It's just it was awesome.
No, LCA is awesome. We talked about a couple weeks ago how a lot of the NCAA tournament locations for the first weekend were kind of dull, other than maybe Pittsburgh. I don't know how Detroit, they had a great showing with Purdue and not Gonzaga, but Purdue and Tennessee and all those teams playing in that regional. To me, that's a great sales pitch. Let's have the tournament there every single year. I think it would be great. But yeah, it's nuts. The amount of people that are at every damn Red Wings game, it's a loyal fan base. And especially now they've been in like this playoff push. Yesterday was a tough loss. They're not totally out of it yet, but
no,
it's been interesting last month or so where it feels like almost every game has like playoff implications and the season's on the line every week. So did they get the win when you went? I forget.
Yeah, they did 3-1. In fact, they scored 53 seconds in the game to start the scoring. And nice. It is awesome. You know, they, you know, hockey fans, especially Detroit hockey fans, they got their own little things they have going on. And I don't know where, I think it came from Ric Flair, but you're sitting there and all of a sudden, woo, you know, and that's the cheer you hear there.
I hate to say it, I don't think you did your job to our 3-point pod listeners, not sneaking in an octopus and throwing it on the ice when they got the win.
True.
There were two that hit the ice. I will say that.
That's cool. I was talking to a buddy the other day at work who's not really a hockey fan. I mean, this is a couple months ago, actually. And he thought that I had to convince him that the octopus were real. They were like just fake, you know, or whatever. And I was like, no, they're real. People go get them. And he's like, nah, you're messing with me. So I had to like find a website or like whatever, proving that they were real. But that is a cool tradition. So yeah, you mentioned a sales pitch to have, you know, March Madness at LCA. The Final Four is in Detroit in 2027, but it's at Ford Field,
Right.
You know, the main reason with that is capacity at Ford Field is like 65,000. Capacity at Little Caesars Arena is only like, I think, 20. You know, NCAA sees, oh, we can sell three times the amount of tickets if we play at Ford Field.
Right.
But LCA is a cool arena. Too bad the NBA team that plays in there is awful. But that's a discussion for another day.
Absolutely. I do have a question for you, Jared, real quick before we move on. You've been in the arena for basketball, haven't you, at LCA?
Yeah.
Yeah. How does it stack up as a basketball arena? Because my initial thought, like I said, when I'm looking at the hockey and watching it, it just seemed perfect for hockey. Is it just as good for basketball?
From what I hear is like LCA is like, it's like widely regarded as one of the best, like hockey, they call it a barn, hockey barns like in the league. So I do agree. It is like kind of perfect. And like you said, even when you're in the upper deck, it's still a good seat.
Yeah.
Honest to God, I haven't really ventured up to the upper decks when a basketball game is going on to see what that view would be like. I would have loved to have seen what it had been like for one of those tournament games when it was, you know, pretty much at max capacity. Yeah. I think it really is a great venue and we have good sports fans in Detroit. Sooner or later, got to be, you know, a playoff series that takes place there. We just got to knock on wood, hope it's sooner rather than later. I mean, we'll see. But, I think it'll be good. I mean, all these arenas, I feel like the sight line kind of sucks sometimes in the upper deck, especially for basketball.
Yeah, well, I just brought it up because, you know, Little Caesars is bigger than Breslin, and I know I've been in the top row at Breslin before, and you look down and, man, you're like dizzy and the players look so small, right. You know, and yeah. At the hockey game, I don't know what the design was or what, but the players looked, I mean, they didn't look that far away. I mean, you could see it all, you know,
right.
It was cool.
We'll take it.
Remember there was a playoff series at LCA, Blake Griffin. Remember there?
Oh yeah, right.
That almost seems like it didn't even exist, but
I forgot all about that.
Right.
All right, well, fellas, let's get away from our catch up. Let's get into the meat and potatoes of the podcast, including the men's and women's bracketology. We'll look at that right after this.
It's much more than a gym. It's the Memorial Healthcare Wellness Center. Stocked with a wide array of state-of-the-art cardio and strength equipment, the Wellness Center also offers a variety of fitness classes. Run, jog, or get your steps in on the raised sky track with views of the entire Memorial campus. As part of your membership, enjoy the spa-like locker rooms with private showers. Also included is use of the steam rooms, saunas, and therapy pool. For more details, go online at memorialhealthcare.org or call 989-720-CARE.
Corey Shook and Associates Real Estate Services is the official and exclusive realtor and broker for 3 Point Podcast. Corey and her team have been providing personal, exemplary service and real estate sales since 2004. Corey Shook and Associates Real Estate Services are total professionals helping you sell your current house or buying your dream home. Stop in at 216 West Exchange Street in Owosso, get info online at coreyshook.com, and follow on Facebook at Corey Shook Realtor for more details. If you are looking for honesty, ambition, and expertise, you're looking for Corey Shook and Associates Real Estate Services.
All right, you guys want to start after the championship game? UConn showed that pretty much most everybody knew they were the best team in college basketball and proved it.
Yeah, I mean, both really the men's and women's. It's kind of crazy what UConn basketball, men's and women's, has turned into. Because, you know, for the most part, UConn, not very good in many other sports. It's just, it was like the early 90s when Jim Calhoun with the men's team, and then Gino Auriemma, obviously, with the women's team.
Right.
When they took those programs over, I mean, you can make an argument that UConn men's and women's, especially combined, is the best basketball program in the country. I mean, back to back for the men's, the women's Geno's won like 11 national titles or whatever. You know, they make the Final Four basically every year. So I know they didn't end up winning it this year, UConn women, but you know, they were right there. So yeah, the men's team, I mean, I think to me, it showed again why Big Ten basketball hasn't won a national title in over 20 years since that the Flintstones and, you know, the 2000s. And Big Ten has had good teams, and a couple of those being Michigan teams made the championship game. But it's almost like they're not that elite level. You got Zach Edey on Purdue, who's won back-to-back player of the year. I mean, I think he's like legit. Some people want to, you know, talk about, is he just a big dude? You know, how's he going to translate to the NBA? He seems like he's going to be a good player. Is he going to be like dominant in the NBA? You know, I don't know, but he has skill. He can shoot, he can move. So I guess we'll see. But when they get to the championship against a team like UConn, they don't have the guard play to match up. It's basically, they're just hoping that Zach Edey goes off for 40 points and dominates the game. And it just shows that to me, the Big Ten has to do something with their style of play, because these other teams, UConn and some of the ACC teams, Villanova, when they were winning with Jay Wright, they're always like next level. And even as good as Purdue was, they weren't even close to as good as UConn. And it's kind of a shame, because it was a pretty good Purdue team. But it's, and similar to Caitlin Clark on the women's side with Iowa. Good Iowa team, but clearly South Carolina is just a loaded roster. And Iowa, good players, and then obviously Caitlin Clark.
Right. Mm-hmm.
If it wasn't going to be Caitlin Clark dropping 45 points, Iowa had no shot in that game.
Yeah, it UConn, I mean, what more can you say? They've won every game in the last two tournaments by double digits. Like Dan Hurley basically said, it's crazy what we're doing. It's like we're making a really hard tournament look like freaking easy. Their offense is poetry, and like more so than I guess. Yeah, they have so much talent; it's almost unbelievable. Mixed with great coaching, from what I understand, is like their offensive mastermind is actually like Bill Murray's son, who was an assistant at Xavier for a long time, Luke Murray. He's kind of like the one that's built this offense. Where if you watch it, it's like you can't even follow the ball sometimes. Like, I don't know how I defend this. I can't follow it as a guy in the stands. And then you add in a lot of talent like Klingon and Cam Spencer. It's like, wow, this team is a freaking unit. They're pretty tough to beat. I feel stupid picking them. Again, we don't have to rehash my bracket, but Kentucky out. Looking back, it's like Kentucky, let's just say my bracket was perfect. If Kentucky matched up with UConn, it's like they lost by 40, it felt like. So just a stupid pick on my part. But as for the women's side, which I think outdrew the men's game by like 4 million viewers, 18 to 14 million.
Yeah.
One time story that really was, what a great run, what a great career by Caitlin Clark. I mean, the thing that's been really weird to see, though, is all, and a lot of people commented this, is like a lot of the WNBA players or retired players, like I know the former like all-time NCAA leading scorer from Iowa had like some negative comments basically saying how she doesn't believe like Caitlin Clark broke her record because she did it with a three-point shot and with a woman's basketball. There seems to be like a lot of like hatred toward Caitlin Clark like kind of coming in and bursting onto the scenes and really elevating the game of women's basketball to like a national audience like we haven't seen before. What did you guys think of like the kind of the negativity surrounding this all-time great player from players actually within that sport?
Well, I'll say this. So I don't know if you guys watched or caught any of the Bird and Taurasi broadcast that was on ESPN during the women's Final Four in the championship game. So it's Sue Bird and Diana Taurasi basically having like, you know, the Manning cast during the Monday Night Football. That's basically what they're doing. They're sitting there watching the game. They have a couple interviews. They talk about the game or whatever. So they're two, obviously, UConn alums, two of the best ever in women's basketball. And they kind of went viral because what Jared's talking about, especially Diana Taurasi, kind of like throwing shade at Caitlin Clark a lot and saying like,
it was BS. You
know, yeah. And it, like, it happens in the NBA too. You know, the old school guys don't want to give all the credit to the new school guys. It probably happens all the way down to the high school level. Guys that graduated 20, 30 years ago don't want to give credit to the kids coming through. I don't know. It's just something that happens. But it is strange to see, like what you're saying, Jared, when you have a player come through like Caitlin Clark, who is bringing eyes, bringing an audience to the women's game more than anyone ever. I saw someone compare it to Tiger Woods with golf.
Yeah.
You know, when Tiger Woods broke onto the scene, all of a sudden everyone was watching golf and trying to play golf. I mean, look at the ratings. The women's game is breaking record after record. Right. The women's games were rating better than the NBA finals, way better than like the World Series, basically because of Caitlin Clark. And there's other storylines, South Carolina, LSU, you know, but mainly because of Caitlin Clark. I'll say this. I was on the production. I brought that up. I worked on the Bird and Taurasi production. I was doing that. And what you saw, and I'll say this, what you saw on TV, they didn't even scratch the surface with what they were saying off the air. I don't know what it is. The producer even had to tell them to scale it back a touch.
Right.
Because that's why, like, there was a question. Sue Bird asked Diana Taurasi, like, who would you draft, Paige Beckers or Caitlin Clark? And Taurasi basically just said, like, Paige, next question. Because what you're she right. really wanted to say would have been like, to what are you even saying? And I don't get it. I understand, you know, UConn. They're UConn alums. They love Paige Beckers. Okay, I get that.
It's a little bit of it, sure.
Right, I get that. But I don't understand the Caitlin Clark hate. If you want to say...
Is it jealousy?
If you want to say she broke these records because she was there for 5 years, all right, I guess you can make that little bit of an argument. The three-point line, we've talked about this with Maravich. It's just rules change. The rules change. Now there's a three-point line now. It is what it is. It happens in baseball, whatever. I don't get why when the biggest push right now with everything, even outside of sports, is to help women get more equal rights, fair pay, more eyes on everything that they're doing, that you wouldn't, in seeing what Caitlin Clark is doing for the women's game, that you wouldn't be just like celebrating it like crazy. Like, let's go. Yes, Caitlin Clark. Let's, You know, like you saw Ice Cube is offering her a contract to play in the Big Three.
I love that.
You know, you got to think about what it's going to do for the WNBA when she goes to play there. Like, it's just, it's weird seeing the old players like hate on her so much.
Yeah, I mean, I would like Diana Taurasi, but lost a fan in me with that comment. Just bizarre. It's like, I was alive, but I don't remember it. Like when LeBron came onto the scene, I don't remember this type of weird, like, yeah, like jealousy really is probably the right word. Same thing with like even recently, it's like Wembanyama. It's like when Wembanyama joined the league, it's like all the players are like loving him. It's like you hear a new post game bite every game after people play Wembanyama. So just bizarre, just flat out bizarre. If you would have like, let's say Diana Taurasi, for example, I think she's like 41 years old. Kaitlyn Clark's 22, so it's like a 20 year difference. Yeah. What I would have preferred her do is like, I get why it would be annoying, like Kaitlyn Clark getting all this attention. Wait till she joins the NBA and send your message on the court. Shut her down. Right. You know, drop 25 on her. Cross her over. I don't know. Do something like that. That I would have rooted for. This, like, tearing her down right when, you know, WNBA or women's basketball is having this moment. Just, like, bizarre. And there was, it wasn't just them. A lot of people were doing that.
Well, you know, it makes you kind of wonder, is it jealousy 100% or is it, you know, since everybody is on the bandwagon for Kaitlyn Clark, that they're trying to be contrarians, you know, and be on the other side of the coin to stir it up. I don't know. That could be a little bit of it. But all I know is the eye test. And I've watched a lot of female basketball in my time, not as much as the men, obviously. Kaitlyn Clark has it all. I mean, she is the greatest female basketball player I have ever seen play, and lives up to the hype. I mean, she's not only a bomber from 3-point range, her passing ability is phenomenal. I mean, she passes better than the guys. I mean, she's hitting these girls on flat out stride with traffic in the lane, bounce passes, bullet passes. She's awesome. And she deserves every bit of the credit she gets. And the other side of the coin, you know, we had the whole controversy with Bird and Taurasi. You had Dawn Staley, after winning the national championship, giving her high praise. I thought that was a big-time class move and gained me a lot of respect for Dawn Staley, who didn't need a lot more respect from me. I mean, she's a fantastic coach, but that was great that she mixed that in there for the women's game.
Yeah. Yeah, really I saw a graph. I think we might have retweeted it, or maybe I did for my personal Twitter page, but someone did a graph where it was basically like, try and do it on our video. You know, it was like assists on this side, points on this side. And then, you know, it's the dot graph for Kaitlyn Clark and every other girl in the women's game this year. So assist, points. Every other girl was kind of in this area, you know.
And there was men's players too.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yep, yep. And there was one dot way over here. And it was Kaitlyn Clark,
right?
Because it was like people saying, oh, she's just a shooter. All she does is bomb threes, you know, whatever. It's like, no, actually, she blows people away in assists. She has more assists than anyone in the country.
Right.
She doesn't turn the ball over. Like, I mean, okay, you can, you know, it's like taking a shot at Steph Curry and saying all he does is shoot threes. Well, then you haven't watched a Warriors game, because Steph Curry does way more than just shoot three. So it's just, if at this point, if you are just hating on Kaitlyn Clark, then that, like you said, Jared, you're just a hater, because, and like you said, Ted, her game is complete. I'll be curious to see how she plays in the WNBA. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and say I'm going to watch every single WNBA game, but I'll tune in when she plays against Diana Taurasi.
Yeah.
Turn it on and I'll be like, oh, okay, I'll watch this.
Yeah, and that was just a new storyline about, like, I saw that the Indiana Fever already up into a bigger arena with, like, 10,000 more seats for, like, her debut game. They haven't even drafted her yet.
Right.
But what an awesome – yeah, like, it was – her game was just – it was hard to not love every second of it. Shooting from all over the court. The funny thing is I remember, like, mid-tournament, there was, like, a zag where people were like, oh, Beckers is better. She makes everybody around her a lot better than Kaitlyn does. It's like, if you watch Kaitlyn, it's like, I don't care – how you get it done. If you put the ball through the rim, she like is almost leading the country in assists. She's scoring 40 points a game. You Iowa around her, it's like, yeah, I would say she's making them a little bit better. It was it was just weird and funny. So I'm a big Kaitlyn Clark fan, and that's what you need to draw some ratings, is like, you need the villains, you need the heroes. So it's gonna be fun to watch WNBA next season. Like I said, Matt, I'm tuned to maybe every game, but definitely I'm gonna be following along the storylines on Twitter, and I will tune for those big games. So
yeah. Well, the big storyline was you brought it up in the beginning. 18.7 million watched that final on the women's side compared to 14.8. I mean, I don't know if it had anything to do with the game being Sunday at 3 o'clock on ABC, but, you know, still, it's impressive.
Where's the rant?
I'm not going to give a big rant, but you could, but the 9:20 start, I mean, they proved it in football. They moved it up an hour, right? And it worked.
It's great. Awful. Yeah. They need to figure something out with that.
We talked about the Super Bowl. There's been a lot of discussion about, hey, maybe it should be moved to Saturday. You know, it'll still get the giant ratings, but you know, I don't know. The Monday night at 9:20 or
I hate Monday.
Yeah, it's God, ridiculous. I hate
Monday. It's a dud every, like, for football and for basketball. It's like it feels like you almost lose the energy. I don't know why. Maybe it's just because I hate Mondays. We all do, but it just seems like it. You lose something compared to that Saturday night Final Four matchups. Like that almost seems like the real big event is those two games on Final Four Saturday.
I assume it goes back a ways, right? Monday nights was probably big time TV viewership night. That's the only thing I can figure out, right? That's where it all stems from, but it's probably time to change that philosophy.
Yeah, I mean, maybe because of Monday night football. I mean, they could do something. Like, imagine if they would have done on Sunday, if they would have had the women's game at 3 and the men's game at 7. Do something like that. Like, you know, I know it's different networks, obviously. And
still, that would have been
ideal. They could figure something out like that and do that. Because, yeah, Monday night, I'll be honest, I didn't even stay up and watch the whole game. By the time clearly UConn was pulling away, I was like, I know one shining moment is amazing.
Right.
I'll watch one shining moment in the morning when I wake up. I'm going to bed.
One last thing on college basketball. The big news of the day, my guy, Coach Cal.
Yeah. Yeah,
heading to Arkansas. My initial reading on this is he's going somewhere where he's going to be celebrated. Not Kentucky fans have kind of turned on him in a way, but I think the big thing that really kind of drew him was the $5 million NIL package that Arkansas is giving to go get players. If I'm thinking of, and as a fan of Coach Cal, I'm hoping that this is him saying this is kind of my last innovation. We've seen him do the one and done era, all that sort of thing is kind of what he's made bread at. Now he's looking at, hey, give me the most NIL money and I will go get us the very best players and we'll win championships here in Arkansas. I can't wait to see. That's the biggest story heading into next college basketball season is how is Arkansas going to look with Coach Calipari wearing the red instead of the big blue nation blue. So I can't wait to see how that plays out. What did you guys make of that move and did it surprise you at all?
The only reason it surprised me is because he had like a $33 million buyout at Kentucky. So I was like, I was surprised he, in a sense, left that money on the table. I almost would think he would force their hand and be like, if you want me out of here, give me my buyout and then I'll leave. So that was a little surprising, but no, I mean, he even said it, and we've talked about it with other coaches, things just run their course. It wasn't working at Kentucky anymore. To me, it more shows that with NIL, with the transfer portal and everything we've talked about with college sports, it's not so much anymore that you have to coach at the Blue Bloods. Nate Oates got that extension at Alabama and said, nope. And then, you know, his name was brought up for Kentucky. And he was like, no, I'm staying here. Dan Hurley, right away, they were like, Kentucky's going to make him an offer he can't refuse. And right away, Hurley said, no, I'm staying at UConn. You don't have to go to a place like Kentucky anymore to win. I mean, with NIL, with the transfer portal and everything, it's the same in college football. Now that the playoff is expanding, transfer portal, NIL, everything in college football, you don't have to be at those Blue Bloods to win a title. So, yeah, I'm not a Coach Cal fan. I don't know. He's not my guy, but I'll be curious to see how he does at Arkansas.
I would say my viewpoint on Coach Cal, I'm a fan of him being in college basketball. I'm not really a fan of him, but he does add juice. You know, I look at him as a snake oil salesman, but he talks the talk.
Doesn't it change your opinion at all? A little. I mean, he's like, I don't need the buyout money. I'm done. I'm just going to go win somewhere else.
Maybe I read a couple reports. I don't know if they're true or not, that he went to strike his deal at Arkansas and then went back to Kentucky and said, hey, you match it, I'll stay. And they said, well, see you later. I mean, I don't know if that's true or not.
Savvy business move. That's a savvy business move. Is what that
I'm not,
is.
Why I'm not saying I mean, it isn't, but yeah.
He probably knew what the answer was going to be.
Say what you will about Coach Cal. I mean, 4'10 and 122 at Kentucky with a natty. I mean, yeah, he's had some rough luck the last few years, but I think he definitely will turn it around at Arkansas. It's going to be fun to watch.
Yeah.
A couple other quickies in basketball since we're on other topics. This had me head scratching a little bit. Bronny James, right? Hits the portal, declares for the NBA, yeah. No agent, but he declares for the NBA with his sparkling. And I know he had health issues, but a 4.8 scoring average and 2.8 rebounds. I mean, are you kidding me? He's really considering the NBA right now?
I mean, we know the story. He,
of course,
if he goes to the NBA and really like stays in the draft, he'll get drafted
for the package deal.
Right. Whatever, how it plays out, you know, who knows? He's still young. Obviously, he could still develop into a solid NBA player, especially if he goes to the G League or something. But right, you'd be drafting him because you hope that LeBron will come with him, or just sell tickets because you got Bronny James. But you know, I don't really have much of an opinion on that whole thing. You know, some people want to see him fail. Some people think he's going to be the next LeBron. It's like I hope he does well. You know,
yeah.
It doesn't really bother me either way. Hope he gets drafted. Hope he has a good career.
Yeah, it's not. I like LeBron. He's my favorite player. This has been a bizarre how they've handled his whole career. Really, it's like I don't know what they're rushing him for. I guess it's so that he can play with LeBron before he retires. But just take your time in college. Maybe USC is not the right spot. I don't think he is going to go to the draft. I think he's going to pull his name out and transfer somewhere, yeah. Or maybe stay home. But
right,
like, I just don't understand the rushing of the development. I mean, I think we all want to see him be good. What a great story if he's leading a team in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah,
it doesn't seem like that's going to happen. Like you said, Ted, 4.8 points a game, 2.7 assists or rebounds, whatever the one stat you threw out. It's like you've got some developing to do. And yeah. It just seems like they put him on an unfair timeline when LeBron said the whole thing about playing with him. And, you know, there were even comments from the Lakers, oh, he could play for us tomorrow. I remember they said that a couple months ago. Right. It's like, just what are we talking about?
Yeah, it's too bad. I feel bad about that pressure put on the young man. You know, obviously, we all wish him well, but it's a tough task, and he could enjoy the college experience a lot better if that pressure wasn't on him.
Yeah.
One other thing, congratulations to Detroit Pistons' Chauncey Billups, huh? I mean, made it to the Hall of Fame, joining Ben Wallace. That's really cool, man. He was definitely part of that team. That he was really the glue that kept that team together. I mean, they had some talent on that Piston team going to work, but I always loved watching him play in that era.
Yeah, I mean, his career was basically going nowhere when he came to Detroit, and then he turned it around and turned himself into a Hall of Fame player. It's really quite the story. Yeah, him and Ben Wallace, really.
Yeah.
You know, Big Ben, he wasn't really going anywhere, came to Detroit, obviously rest is history. Same with Chauncey. I mean, I'll be honest, I thought he might be almost like a Lou Whitaker type of guy with baseball. Like, mm-hmm. I didn't know if Chauncey would make it into the Hall of Fame because he obviously, his stretch with the Pistons, he was great, but he was never like a, you know, like Steve Nash back in those days, or he was never like a Steph Curry nowadays. He was, like you said, incredible for the Pistons.
Yeah.
But, you know, like I was like, man, he might be like that fringe Hall of Fame. Don't know if he'll ever make it. So it's awesome. It's really cool to see him in there.
Do you think the starting five will eventually all be in, you know, Rasheed Wallace, no. Rip? No?
Tayshaun? I don't know about Tayshaun.
I don't know.
I think Rip might. Because, you know, it is the Basketball Hall of Fame. And that's
exactly.
It's not just NBA. And Rip was really good in college at UConn. We were talking about UConn.
Absolutely.
So that might help his case. Tayshaun was actually good at Kentucky, too. But Tayshaun, I don't know about Rasheed with all those technicals. Rasheed would be the one.
Did you see like an article that posed that question? Or is that just because I haven't even considered those other three guys for the Hall of Fame.
It just popped up. But I, you know, looking back at it, you know, you got Rodman made it and Tayshaun was similar. And I don't know. I think eventually you might.
You can't count. Nah. Maybe. I hope so. I mean, I'm not against it. I love all those players. I mean, Mr. Big Shot Billups, I agree with you, man. I thought he might get kind of swindled, but he didn't. So I'm glad he got in. He had a great bite where he basically said that he's happy to finally be in basketball heaven. He never played the game to have those accolades. I think we all saw that as we watched him play. It's like, no, he played basketball to win the game, to make the right play time and time again. He did it the right way. And I think that's what we're seeing now is he's getting paid off because of that. And I mean, how do you not love a guy who has the nickname Mr. Big Shot?
I know.
Just I always I don't know what it is about Chauncey. That he just seemed like so cool to me, the ultimate leader. Like I just that was the guy that when I was growing up as a kid, 6, 7, 8 years old, watching those Pistons scenes, I was always like, man, that guy, he's cool. I love Chauncey.
Refresh my memory too. Did they get rid of him and bring in Iverson? Was then at the same time period?
Yeah. That was the trade. They traded him for Iverson, and that's
what Billups, I thought.
Yeah, Billups went over to the Nuggets. Iverson came to the Pistons. It was
that kind of was the demise.
That was the beginning of the end, and it hasn't came back. I mean, it hasn't come back. They brought Chauncey back for a minute, but he was well past his prime. I played basketball against him, and you saying cool guy when he came to after he retired and he started his broadcasting career with ESPN. He would come up and play basketball with us quite often. And this was if you remember the end of his career, he was like blowing his calf out like every week. And so he basically was on one leg. He would just jog up and down the court. I don't think I ever saw him miss a shot though. He would pull up from half court and, you know, we're not in a full NBA arena. But he would casually walk up, pull up from half court, cash every single time. He wouldn't play any defense. So, you know, he was there just a whatever. But fill like it was one
probably
of those
never lost.
Yeah, he never lost. I'll end it on this. If you didn't know he was Chauncey Billups, kind of like you saying, Jared, he just seems so cool. You wouldn't know that he was Chauncey Billups because he just sat and talked to us like he was another dude and, you know, whatever. So that was pretty cool. You know, as a Pistons fan and stuff, that was cool to play against him.
And that's kind of an underrated part of his game is shooting, man. He really shoot the piss out of the ball. He's almost before his time. I think it was like Larry Brown had a quote maybe a year or two ago basically saying how him and Chauncey used to butt heads about Chauncey taking fast break threes and would like make them. And it's like now you fast forward whatever 10, 12 years later, it's like everybody's doing that.
Right.
So he was the man. That's got to be cool to get to play one-on-one with him. That's like a guy I'd want on his team. Like just Chauncey, tell me where to go. I know you're going to set me up for layups. Like you do the rest. That's probably what it was like.
Yeah. Well, those were the glory days for sure. Right now, Pistons, 13-66. I know you've been working on a lot of their games, Jared. And you know, I won't get too terrible and criticize them. But what do they need to do to eventually, you know, become viable again? You know, I know I've whined about it before with the whole NBA draft, and you know, if you finish in the worst record, you don't automatically get the top choice. It already cost the Pistons Wemby last year, but they're in that tough spot, man.
Yeah, you gotta nail your draft picks. You gotta Brad Holmes it. That's really what you gotta do. You gotta they should have a top five pick this year. You gotta nail it. And hopefully add some pieces in free agency, man. It's a long climb. NBA is tough. We've talked about that before, man, where it's like it's tough to see the light at the end of the tunnel when you're kind of still on the ground floor. They need to hit on not even a generational player, but they need to add another key piece in this upcoming draft, and we'll take it from there. It's like you got to take one step forward, man. You can't start talking about if you start thinking about what it's going to take to get to the NBA finals, it's like you might pass out from dizziness. Just think about taking a step. Let's improve on this year, next year. And slowly start building this thing. It's the only way you can do it in the NBA. You got to build it through the draft, especially when you're in Detroit. You're not going to lure those big name free agents necessarily. So got to do it through the draft.
The problem with that, I don't disagree with you at all, Jared, but the problem with that in the NBA is the draft isn't very good. I mean, we watched men's college basketball. There's not very good players in college basketball, at least initially. So yeah, I mean, look at Cade Cunningham was like the star of that draft and they got him. How's that going? Yeah. You know,
right.
So you have to build through the draft, but we see teams like the Thunder are trying to build through the draft. They're not winning the title. The Mavericks didn't get good until they got that Luka, and now they brought in Kyrie. So you do have to build through the draft, but then you have to land that big free agent. The Suns, they got Devin Booker. Cool. They drafted him. Good. They didn't get really good until they signed. I know I'm not a fan until they signed Chris Paul. And then obviously Durant now. So they need Cade to they need the big free agents to look at Cade and be like, all right, that dude's legit. I'm going to go over there and I'm going to help Cade win a title in Detroit. Because, you can build through the draft. But, I mean, look at even the Pelicans. They draft Zion. And now they've started to get better 3-4 years in because they've signed some guys. So it's you got to try and hit in the draft, like you said, Brad Holmes. But it's just – the NBA draft anymore is even more of a crapshoot than the NFL draft.
Yeah,
dude. Really. He's coming out of college. You have no idea what you're getting.
You got to scout worldwide. Right. You know,
it is a weaker draft. Like, I've heard that too. It's like one of the worst, you know, on paper, it's one of the worst drafts.
Right.
But you know, there's a diamond in the rough there somewhere.
Somewhere.
And I hate to say it. That's just, we've seen Brad. It's like what it takes to even be a competing team in the NFL level. Yeah. You basically have to draft every draft pick you've been nailed. And yeah. So like in the NBA, it's just like, you gotta find that one or two guys that are going to go in that first round this year in the draft, maybe even second round. I mean, Jokic, got to figure out who those guys are, but it's impossible. Like you said, it's a crapshoot, man.
Well, they got their hands full moving forward, but good luck to them. And another team we've been following before we move on, the Tigers, you know, 5-3, they 5-3 yesterday over the Pirates after a little bit of a slump. You know, they started the year off, 5-0. Still, I think this team can be pretty competitive and compete for the Central Division. They got some good positives and they have some things they got to clean up. But I know, Jared, you're a big fan. One of the best managers in baseball, and AJ, and I think they'll get it figured out. I do like their roster. You know, if they get the pitching, I think they'll be right there. And, you know, maybe pitching. Moving forward down the road, add a couple players, but they got a good core, I think.
The pitching's been the bright spot, right?
Yeah.
I mean, pitching is basically every category, top five in the MLB. ERA,
hitting's the weakness right now. You're right.
Yeah, the offense is atrocious. I mean, the offense is bottom five in the MLB in basically every offensive category. OPS, slugging, batting average, bottom five everywhere. Runs, home runs. I mean, I don't know how you fix it. I mean, you signed Javi Baez. We don't need a rail on that anymore. He's not really panning out to the guy you hoped he was going to be.
No.
Riley Green is showing. He probably is going to be he's a good player. He looks like he's trajecting into a really good player, but you got to hope some of these other guys turn it on. I mean, I don't need to get into it like I did last year. Torkelson is just still hitting under 200, 10 games in, no home runs. You know, he's still a good quality, reliable player because he's good in the field. You know, he's a guy, put him at first base every day, Hinch first base every day. You know, he's one of those guys. You're going to play him. But the bat has to wake up. You can't be hitting under 200 with no home runs. I mean, you know, something has to happen. So pitching is there, but the bats, I don't know what it is. Like you said, Ted, maybe I don't know if there's a guy that you can pick up at some point, but the bats have to wake up. They'll be in contention in the Central for sure because the Central's not very good. But the pitching, though, pitching's been good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they will wake up. I mean, it's still so early. 10 games.
Yeah.
It's 1/16th of the way through the season. I'm not hitting the panic button. At the end of the day, they're still 7-4. I know that it hasn't been maybe the stiffest competition, but any MLB team could beat you on any given day. 7-4. If you'd have told me before the start, I mean, thinking of how we started April last couple of years, where I think 2 years ago, 2021, I think we started 9-24 and ended up maybe 3 or 4 games below 500. So it's like, just get through this month, you know, with our head above water, and we're in a lot better spot than we've been the last couple of years. And we've seen how, I'm not sure if it's AJ Hinch, I'm not sure if it's just the guys in the clubhouse, but they seem to really turn it on as the season progresses. So I'm fine with where they're at right now. 7-4.
Yeah.
It kind of felt like they needed yesterday's win and they got it. So they now they have a day off to kind of recollect. I'm for it, man. 7-4. Take that every day of the week.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what. Watching that game yesterday, just the views of Pittsburgh at PNC Park. You guys know that's my favorite ballpark in the big leagues. It's just a beautiful setting, you know. And that was a big win for the Tigers in comeback fashion. You know, they needed that win. That's going to help settle them down.
Like, you don't think a team that hasn't necessarily been mashing homers, but man, they've had a few like really, you know, kind of crazy endings to their games already thus far. So
yeah, they have.
What more can you ask for in April in the D?
100%. Oh, by the way, you got a big shout out on your opening day video montage. That was very cool. Congrats.
Yeah, that was a nice message. I really appreciated Keith doing that. So yeah, that was a fun little thing together. Opening day tease. I mean, I've never been to opening day. I didn't get tickets, whatever that was, 3-4 years ago, Ted. And I didn't even know what opening day was, this huge party every year. Man, it looks like a freaking blast. Have either of you guys ever been to opening day?
Not to an opening day, no.
I actually went to opening day of Comerica Park in 2000.
Oh, nice.
That was cool. Well, it was cold as hell, but it was awesome.
Yeah, there's a footage of that. I think it was a rainy day.
It was cold. I mean, it was freezing cold. You know, I mean, it was there were snow showers periodically, but still, you're right. I mean, there's no, you know, they always talk about it. Nobody does opening day like Detroit. I mean, maybe they do, but I'll tell you what, they do it as right. good as anybody for sure.
Yeah.
Real quick before we move on, you know, Michigan beat Michigan State in the hockey tournament. So they're in the Frozen Four
this weekend.
Yeah. They're kind of the underdog, right? Are they ranked at all even, Michigan?
Yeah, they're ranked. Yeah, they're. I mean, Michigan. They're one of those hockey teams. They're always ranked. You know, they go up or down. But a lot of that production is actually coming out of the Charlotte down here.
Oh,
and Frozen Four should be good. They need to finish one off. They've been to the Frozen Four basically every year.
Right.
You know, they're kind of like UConn basketball, like we were talking about with the women's, but they haven't won a national title since '98.
Been a while.
You know, hockey terms, you know, that it's been a while. So yeah. It'd be cool to see them finish one off.
Well, they got a tough draw with number one Boston College. Yeah. And on the other side of the bracket, Boston U and Denver. So it'll be fun to watch starting Thursday night.
Yep.
All right, guys, let's move on. We'll have the prep spotlight coming up next, right after this.
The Memorial Healthcare Wellness Center is another great addition to the Owosso community. Start your wellness journey today by signing up for a 2024 membership. Get 15% off a yearly membership and 15% off your enrollment fee for new members. Membership gets you full use of the workout equipment, fitness classes like Pilates, yoga, spin, and many others. Relax in the steam room or sauna after your workout. Run, jog, or walk around the third floor Skytrack. Enjoy the spa-like locker rooms with sparkling clean private showers and other amenities. For more details, go online at memorialhealthcare.org or call 989-720-CARE.
Nelson House Funeral Home's number one goal is to serve the families in our area. The Nelson House staff are proud to serve our local community with reliability, integrity, and compassion. Unique service representing unique lives, ensuring your loved ones receive the honor and celebration they deserve. Founded in 1880 and continuing the tradition today with chapels in Owosso, Chesaning, and New Lothrop. For more details, find them at nelson-house.com or call 989-723-5234.
Jacobs Insurance Agency has served Shiawassee County and the surrounding areas since 1977. Just like Three Point Podcasts, we've had three generations, Gary Jacobs Sr., Gary Jacobs II, Brian Jacobs, and myself, Noah Jacobs, serving our community with offices in Waterford and Owosso on M21 just west of Home Depot. Stop in or go online to jacobsinsurance.com to get a quote or get your questions answered by our team. Jacobs Insurance is a proud supporter of our local schools and the proud sponsor of the Prep Spotlight. Ensure everything, local, independent, and trusted. It's our family working together to protect yours. That's the Jacobs way.
All right, it's time for the Prep Spotlight presented by the Jacobs Insurance Agency. There's not a lot going on right now, but there is some spring sports underway. Laingsburg softball started the season 4-0 after sweeping Fulton 16-0 and 16-1. Addison Bunchen tossed a one-hitter and had two hits in game one. In baseball, Ovid Elsie beat Duran 12-6. Corbin Janes got the W. Corunna, I just saw it on Twitter this morning, lost their baseball opener against Fowler 6-4 in 8 innings. But I think the Cavaliers are going to have a pretty good baseball season before it's all said and done. On the tennis courts, the Marauders beat Owosso 7-1 as Jolie Swender led the way with the number one singles victory. Corunna's boys track and field team, they look like they're ready to repeat as state champions. Most of their squad returns, including the Bauer twins, so we'll be watching them very closely as we continue through the spring. Back to winter for a second. In basketball, Laingsburg Xander Woodruff recently was named the Michigan AP D3 Player of the Year with his 30.5 scoring average. Shiawassee County has done pretty well this last school year so far, and we might see some more awards in track and field or baseball possibly, but Wyatt Bauer was named D5, D6 Player of the Year in football in the fall. So, I mean, I don't know the last time we've had that kind of state accolades, if you will, for athletes in our area. That's pretty amazing. And in girls hoops, Aubrey Rogers of Morris and Lainey Meredith of Portland St. Pat made the D4 all-state team, both moving on to play collegiately. So we'll be getting more into the prep spotlight with the spring sports. Finally, the weather is breaking. I mean, we've had a great week here weather-wise, so stay tuned. All right, we'll be back with a little tettertainment tonight right after this.
Success Group Mortgage and Servicing is Shiawassee County's only licensed mortgage broker, lender, and servicer. That means you get exclusive products not found anywhere else. If you are looking to purchase a home or refinance a home in Florida, Hawaii, or Michigan, stop what you're doing and give Success Group Mortgage and Servicing a call. 989-720-4380. That's 989-720-4380.
Are you ready to take your brand to the next level? Look no further. Introducing AZ Branding Solutions, where we help grow your brand from A to Z. At AZ, we're committed to helping businesses and organizations like yours reach new heights. Our full-service print and digital branding agency is your one-stop destination for all things branding. Need a stunning web or graphic design that captures your essence? We've got you covered. Want captivating social media content that engages your audience? Done. And that's not all. We're experts in video production and photography, ensuring your brand tells a compelling visual story. Plus, we specialize in screen printing and embroidery, turning your brand into wearable art that speaks volumes. Whether you're a startup or an established business, AZ is here to transform your brand dreams into reality. Ready to grow with us? Partner with AZ today and experience the difference. Visit our website at www.az.co or give us a call at 1-844-360-AZEE. AZ Branding Solutions, where your success begins.
All right, I can't wait to hear your comments on my my excursion to Florida. I rode down there.
Did you hitchhike? Or did you drive?
I did drive this time, actually. It was a work-related holiday in Florida, if you will. But the guy I went with, he's a movie freak. So he has his iPad lined up for movies for me to watch in the passenger seat, right? So get this. This is a good way to go to Florida. Some of these movies, well, in fact, all these movies I haven't seen, so I got a chance to see them for the first time. He had watched them already, so he could keep his eye on the road while he was driving, and he could explain things that I was missing on the, you know, the iPad. But I had never seen John Wick.
Okay.
Have you guys seen the John Wick series? I saw
just real quick. This is like you were like a toddler and got set up in your car seat and your snacks and your juice with your iPad.
I was in the back seat looking at behind
the. Talk about John Wick. Well, he took it upon himself to like load up an iPad with movies to watch. It's just an interest, and it's just an interesting dynamic, I guess.
Yeah, he did. Well, you know, when you're on a long trip to Florida, you're talking about this and that, and you know, and we were talking about movies because he's a movie guy, and I said, you know, I was thinking about watching John Wick sometime. So yeah, he downloaded 1, 2, and 3. Great action. I mean, I told him, I said, man, this doesn't quite get the flavor on the little iPad as would on a big screen or the movie, because it's nonstop action and shooting them up and all that. But I looked it up online, 77 kills for John Wick in episode 1. He said 103 lines, right? And 484 words. So. Right. There wasn't a lot of talking going on with the dialogue. It was nonstop action.
Yeah. I've never seen all three. So did you watch all three of them?
All three.
Yep. Okay. So I've only seen the first one and no reason like that I haven't finished it. I'm not hating on them at all, because if that's what you're looking for, like you just laid out, action, not much dialogue. And actually like really cool. They're really well done. I mean, those movies make a ton of money. Yeah. So it's really well done. Then that's exactly what you want. I put it up. I really like the Fast and Furious movies. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a lot of people obviously hate on those. But I'm like, listen, I go into it knowing the acting's going to be terrible. There's not really much of a story, but there's cool cars. There's action. There's explosions. And, you know, you get to see some cool action or whatever. That's what John Wick is. If you want to watch a movie that you don't have to think about, turn that on.
Yeah.
So did you like them then?
Yes, I liked them a lot. You know, I'll probably watch episode 1 again on my bigger screen so I can definitely see what's going on a little bit better. But the main thing is it just shoot them up, man. Along the same vein, I had never seen The Equalizer with Denzel Washington.
Yeah.
So this guy who loves movies, he has a type.
Yes.
He likes the John Wicks, The Equalizers, the action popcorn flicks, essentially, is what he loaded up on his iPad for you.
Yeah. Oh, how about you? Do you like those?
There is a John Wick 4, and they are they're going to come out with a John Wick 5. So you can keep, for our listeners, you can be the John Wick expert.
Guaranteed, I will, for sure. But Equalizer with Denzel, I mean, I like the plot in that one. You know, I like the way that I liked it better than John Wick. Let's put it that way. You can't go wrong with Denzel Washington. So now I'm looking forward to Equalizer 2 and 3. Oh, again, along the same vein. Nobody. Have you guys heard of that one with Bob Odenkirk? Mm-mm. That might have been my favorite of all of them, because he just plays this guy, you know, a simpleton, you know, and a couple people break into his house and he acts kind of scared, and his son gets mad at him for not doing something. Well, come to find out, he's a badass, man. It's really good. When you see Better Call Saul be a badass, it was well done. I got two more movies I watched.
Oh, okay. Oh, wow. I remember seeing that trailer.
It was good. If you get a chance, I would say Nobody, you would like it. It really is. It's a good movie. Have you ever heard of one called Morbius? Nope. It's Jared Leto. He plays I think he's a superhero character, but he has a rare blood disease, and he experiments with bats and then becomes a vampire, you know, becomes a badass vampire guy. Pretty good movie. I enjoyed that one. And then this one, completely off the violent stuff.
Just a quick little search of this Morbius movie, 15% on Rotten Tomatoes. But you liked it. I guess that's all that matters.
I didn't say I wouldn't have rated it over the other ones. Let's put it that way. But it was a time killer on my trip. And then the other one I'd never seen before, because the title of it just never sucked me in. Hot Tub Time Machine.
Oh,
2010 movie. I was pleasantly surprised that it was very entertaining. You know?
No, so Hot Tub Time Machine.
Yeah, that's a good look.
Oh, that's great. I mean, yeah, Jared, you were
10 years old.
I was going to say, you might have been 2010. When it came out. Yeah, you might have been a tad young when it came out. I know you watched it, but that was when, you know, I was like in the age. I was the target audience for Hot Tub Time Machine when it came out. Goofy comedy, but no, it's actually like really funny. Yeah, the stupidest plot.
Right.
Like when you think about what the plot is, but it's actually like hilarious, and the cast is really good. I need to go back and watch that too. That movie's funny.
Yeah, so I capped off my trip with that. So that was my entertainment input here this week. Have you guys seen anything?
Hot Tub Time Machine up against the rest of the list that you just went through is like way over here. It's the graph I was talking about with Caitlin Clark. All those other movies are here, and then the Hot Tub Time Machine is like way over there. That's funny.
The selection of the movies is like it was like if you just turned your brain off and just zoned out.
Well, kind of, it kind of was that way.
It's not your type of movies. It's like you stepped out of your comfort zone to watch these.
Yeah. Hey, well, what better time to do it? I did have to get away from the shoot 'em up ones though for the Hot Tub Time Machine. That was a good way to end the trip. So
let's get something that makes us laugh a little bit for the rest of this drive. Exactly. No, I was going to bring up, I feel like maybe we've talked about him before. I know for sure, Jared, you know this guy. I'd be curious if Ted, you do. I don't know if we've talked about him before on Tedertainment, but when my parents were here, I mentioned they were here. We were taught one night after the kids went to bed, we were talking about like comedians, stand-up comedy or whatever. And I brought up the last time we were at Disney, my daughter and I, we ran off to find her a toy. And when I came back to where my wife and our son were, they were waiting in a store waiting for us. My wife was smiling. She was all excited. She met the comedian Nate Bargatze.
Oh, love him.
Okay. So you do know who he is. I knew Jared would, but yeah, I wasn't sure if you did.
He's funny.
And yeah, she said that she caught him. And she like walked up and was like, "Are you?" And he was like, "Nate Bargatze." And so she got a picture with him and all that stuff. So we were telling them that story, and they hadn't seen any of his comedy. So we watched one of his Netflix specials, and they were cracking up. And I think we got Nate two new fans in my parents. But
good.
I was gonna say, Ted, if you haven't seen any of his specials, definitely check him out. He's got a couple on Netflix. I know he put out a new one. I'm not sure where the newest one is, but yeah, like anyone out there, if you like stand up, Nate Bargatze is definitely worth a watch.
Yeah, he's got a little different style, but I like it. Yeah. I like his delivery a lot, you know. And he, I think he hosted SNL this year too.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
That's probably when we talked about him, because, yeah, he did host SNL. So we probably talked about that.
Yep. How about you, Jared? You've just been too busy with work?
No, yeah, that's what I'm trying to, like, I've been racking my brain the last 2-3 minutes thinking of what have I been watching lately. yeah, not a lot. It's kind of embarrassing. Yeah, I guess just sports, as lame as that sounds. I don't know. Like, we officially got through Lord of the Rings, so we talk about that. That's no longer an entertainment segment.
No.
I feel bad. I don't know if I got anything today.
All right. Well,
yeah,
that's fine.
Pick out one of the ones I brought up, and then you can bring your review. Yeah.
Well, you'll be watching. This is outside of entertainment, but it would work. You'll be watching some Masters this week, right?
There you go.
Yep.
So yeah, we didn't talk about that, but yeah, who's your betting favorite? Are you going with you just go with Scottie Scheffler because he's the guy? Are you going with,
you know, like, what you guys threw a curveball? I was just looking at the winner odds 2 seconds ago. I closed it out because we transitioned. Let me see.
The big
names out there are Scottie Scheffler is the favorite at 13 to 4 odds. Kind of weird, but yeah. Rory McIlroy 10-1, Brooks Koepka 11-1, and then Jon Rahm is 12-1 as the defending champion. You know, I love Jon Rahm. I think he made the move to LIV, you know, recently, and I think he's been kind of disappointed with the fact that the PGA and LIV has not merged yet, and kind of with the quality of play that the LIV delivers. I think he's hungry. Mm-hmm. I think he's ready to kind of prove that he's still basically the top guy in the PGA Tour and LIV Golf. So at 12-1, I mean, how do you not go Jon Rahm? It's been a while since we've seen a repeat champion in back-to-back years, but I love Jon Rahm.
I saw, like, Matsuyama, a lot of people are betting him. What was another name? Cameron Young. I saw people saying he's, like, a sleeper. But, yeah, it's hard not to go with those top, Scottie Scheffler or Jon Rahm, because it'd be cool to see McIlroy win one. Obviously, it'd be cool, obviously, to see Tiger in contention. But I just want to see him finish a tournament. I think that's what most people want to see, finish the tournament, and that'd be really cool.
Hey, if you wanted to throw down some money and make a lot, Tiger or Phil Mickelson, you know, I mean,
right.
The old timers. I'm looking forward to the Masters.
You remember Mickelson had a magical Sunday last year, if you remember. I think he finished he ended up finishing like top 10 and went like 7 under, I think, on his final Sunday round. So it's not a bad call, really.
He made a run. Hey, Jared, you're probably the more resident golf guy. Have you watched one bit of the LIV? You know, tournaments at all? Have you tuned into that?
No.
I just wondered how that's ever going to work out. You know, I mean, who would? You're going to watch PGA, right?
It's just like, here's the thing. And this is what sucks. I mean, this is a bigger discussion. Maybe we could spend, I could spend 30 minutes on it.
Sure.
I mean, we've bitched about it before, but the fact that there is a LIV and a PGA tour, it makes almost both of the tours unwatchable for anything outside of these majors. I'll watch, you know, the, Waste Management Open. I'll watch that just more so because I've been there and the ties that I have to that tournament. But outside of that, it's like they have basically killed each other, or really LIV has killed, you know, the PGA Tour. I think we're all just kind of waiting for it for a purge. Like I said, Jon Rahm, when he made the move, I think he thought being basically the top guy in golf, making that move was going to kind of force the PGA Tour's hand. But here we are, you know, 4 or 5 months later, nothing has changed. So it's killing the sport outside of the majors. The majors will always be there. The Masters always going to be awesome, but outside of that, man, there's really not much to it.
I think that's the big thing. And talking to some of my buddies, you know, we've said it before. I'm a casual golf fan. I'll watch the Masters and other big tournaments, but some of my buddies they watch every single tournament. You know, the big thing with LIV was they thought if they take Brooks Koepka, if they take Jon Rahm, and some of these big names, Phil Mickelson, even. People will watch those tournaments because of the big names. But I think a big thing with golf is the actual tournaments. People watch the Masters because it's the Masters. People watch the U.S. Open because it's the U.S. Open. You know, the Open Championship, you know, they'll watch that because of those tournaments, regardless of who the golfers are. And right now with the LIV, you don't even know what these, like, golf courses are. You know, they're playing at Corona Hills, basically. And, you know, it's like, okay, cool, Brooks Koepka is out there. I don't even know where they're playing, though. So I don't even care what the tournament is. You know, sometimes you don't even know where to watch it. Like, right. is it streaming? Is it on a TV?
CW
like,
or what?
You know, yeah. Where is it? So it's definitely something. And people are starting to come out more and say that it is actually starting to affect like viewership. You know, it is negatively affecting the PGA. And then, you know, the LIV isn't taking off like they thought it would. So I would, you know, down the line, I would think like something's going to happen. I don't know if they're going to merge or what, but.
Well, it's going to be an interesting weekend for sure. I think that covers about everything, fellas. Good to get back together again. Any final thoughts before we sign off?
No.
All right. No, enjoy the weather.
Yeah, I mean, spring is here, man. That's what Masters is synonymous with, springtime starting up. It's like we made it. The weather here has been beautiful. I got the day off today. I'm going to go golfing. So it's a good time of year here in Michigan. It's a good time in general. It's like summer's here.
Spring is here. The pontoon is in the water.
and that means a tune cast is coming down the road, right?
Tune cast pending. Yeah.
Pending travel arrangements. All right, guys, let's get out of here. I want to thank Memorial Healthcare's Wellness Center. Make sure you talk to a rep or go online, see what discounts are available for memberships. Get yourself healthy, get in shape. Also, I want to thank our other partners, AZ Branding Solutions, Jacobs Insurance Agency, Corey Shook & Associates Real Estate Services, Nelson House Funeral Homes, Rival Tap House & Grill, and Success Group Mortgage & Servicing. By the way, it's coming up on concert season, and our good friends at Chi-Town, they are starting off the season at the bus stop in Birch Run on April 13th. So go out and check the boys, check their schedule on Facebook. Should be a good summer. And check us out also on the socials at 3 Point Pod. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. And as always, we enjoy comments or suggestions. You can email us at 3pointpod@gmail.com. Enjoy the Masters weekend, everybody. Peace and love. And thanks for listening.
Hey, gang, please consider a donation to the ALS Association Michigan chapter, serving people with ALS and their families since 1988. There still is no cure for Lou Gehrig's disease, and every 90 minutes, someone is diagnosed with ALS. For more details, go online at webmi.alsa.org.
3 Point Podcast is a Sportsnet Michigan 3 Point Podcast production. Subscribe and share on Apple Podcasts, SoundCloud, or any of your favorite podcast hosting sites. Comments and questions can be sent via social media at 3 Point Pod or by email to 3pointpod@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.